As you know, we're in Luke's Gospel. We've just looked at the parable of the soils. If you remember, the sower goes out and he throws seed and the seed falls on various soils. And then Jesus goes on to give some more parables, starting with the parable of the lamp. We find that in Luke chapter 8, verse 16, and I'll read through to verse 21. So Luke chapter 8, verse 16 to 21. Jesus speaks. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed. But he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. And his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." God bless his word as we consider that just a moment. Before we do so, let's come to him in prayer. Father, again, thank you for your word. Help us to hear. As Jesus there says, be careful how you hear. Let us hear your word. Let us understand your word. Let us apply it to our lives with the power of your Holy Spirit. And open my mouth to speak your word this morning for your glory. Amen. Okay, the beginning point then of this passage is that statement in verse 18. Therefore, as Jesus says, take care how you listen. Take care how you hear. That's a warning from Jesus. So you really do need to pay attention to what he says. We've got to take care how you listen. And he's talking about listening to God's word, listening to all that God says. We all know that good listeners obviously make good friends. Good listeners make good learners. On the other hand, poor listeners, who only want to hear themselves talk, don't usually have the best relationships in life. That's obvious. So just from a human standpoint, learning how to listen is important because it determines an awful lot about our relationships. But far more important, however, is how we listen to God. Listening to others is important, but infinitely, literally infinitely more important is how we listen to God. How good are we at listening to God? That's what Jesus is talking about here. Be careful how you hear. What kind of listeners are we? If, as Jesus says here, we are to be careful, to beware even, how we listen, then how we are to understand the kind of listening that Jesus is talking about is very, very important. And that's actually a constant theme in the Bible. All through the Bible, we're commanded to take care how we listen to all that God has to say. We are to be careful, we are to listen appropriately, all the way through the Bible. For example, the command, "Hear the word of the Lord," you find that about 35 times in the Old Testament. And then there's another command, "Hear, O Israel." That's about half a dozen times. And then numerous times we see that phrase, "Listen to me," God says. We find that in the Psalms, in Job, in Isaiah, Jeremiah, many places. Several times in the Bible and going on into the New Testament, we see it as well. Today, hear his voice. Psalm 95, Hebrews 3, Hebrews 4. So, all the way through the Bible, we see that. Listen. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 36 says, "Out of heaven, God let you hear his voice that he might instruct you." So repeatedly, we hear that. Jesus even says, as we saw a few weeks ago in verse 8 of this chapter, "He who has ears, let him hear." And he repeats that statement a number of times. So we warn frequently in the Bible, pay attention, listen carefully to whatever God has to say, all that God has to say. Even at the Transfiguration, there's Jesus, he's with Peter, James and John, and he reveals his glory, not all of it, but an aspect of his glory. And then a voice comes out of heaven, it's God the Father. What does God the Father say? He says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." He says, listen to him. What a privilege God allows us to hear him through the pages of the Bible in our time, because obviously Jesus is no longer here. At the time of Jesus when he was on earth. People could literally listen to him as he was stood there speaking. Now we hear him speak through the Bible. It's all written down. So the question is, how good are we at listening to God? Do we even accept and obey all that he says in the Bible? Or do we have certain bits that we're not too keen on? Perhaps we want to ignore something or change something. What kind of listeners, in other words, are we? That's what Jesus says here. Take care, verse 18, how you listen. And all the verses around that main premise there fill in the way that we are to listen. The subject of hearing then is very important. Remember, as I just said, Jesus had only previously said, he who has ears, let him hear. In other words, those of you who are genuinely saved and can listen spiritually, listen. And the context of that was that he was saying, listen, because I'm about to explain to you a parable. And it's a parable about how you hear. Now remember, we've just covered the parable of the soils, as I said earlier. Guess what the parable of the soils was about? It was about how you hear. We know that. If you look, go back to the parable, verse 12. The seed beside the road are those who have heard. Verse 13. The seed on the rocky soil are those when they hear. Verse 14. The seed which fell among the thorns are those who have heard. And then finally the seed, verse 15, on the good soil are the ones who heard the word in a good and honest heart. So the whole parable previously is all about how you hear. It's a story about how people hear all that God says. Some hear very superficially, like the hard ground. Some hear very emotionally, like the rocky soil. Some hear temporarily, like the weedy soil. Some hear with a good and honest heart, and they savingly the word takes root in them. So immediately after that parable, then comes the statement, be careful how you hear. In other words, don't hear superficially. Don't hear emotionally, self-centeredly. Don't hear in a worldly fashion. Hear in a godly, honest heart to all that God has to say. That's obvious. So the major premise is built on the parable of the soils. Take care to all that you listen to in God's word. The kind of listener you are, the kind of hearer, will tell you your spiritual condition. Now, we see repeatedly throughout the teachings of Jesus in the rest of the New Testament, there are many people who are superficial and responded to the gospel. As we saw previously, some will say, Lord, Lord, we've done this in your name, we've done that in your name, but Jesus says, I never knew you, depart from me. So Jesus is warning us, there are false people, what about you? How do you know if you're the real thing? How can you make a true assessment of your condition spiritually before God? And in this passage, you hear that you can make that assessment by discerning what sort of hearer you are. You know you're genuine because you hear genuinely. It will reveal whether you're the good soil. As I say, many profess to believe in Christ, and they might have had an incident somewhere. They may have prayed a prayer. But how they listen to all that God says in the Bible proves whether they are genuine. That's another thing that Jesus is talking about here. So Jesus tells us this parable. Remember then, in verse 9 and 10, some of the disciples who are genuine come to him and they say, what does it mean? And that's when he said to them, verse 10, to you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it's in parables in order that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Jesus is basically saying there, good, you've come to me, you've asked for an explanation, I'm going to give you an explanation because to you, it's okay to understand because you are genuine. But to the others, I'm not going to explain because they don't accept me, they don't want to accept me, they're never going to accept me, it's in parables for them. And Jesus did that for the rest of his Galilean ministry. He would give a parable, he would explain it to the genuine disciples, but it would be hidden from those who weren't genuine. And the key there is that even when the parable is given, God's people, the genuine ones, they still need to seek an understanding of what he actually means. And the ones who don't, well, that was an act of judgment on Jesus' part. They didn't accept him as Lord and Saviour. Now they couldn't accept him. So Jesus is now going to speak to the genuine disciples, and it's to them that he speaks here in verse 16 and onwards. And it's to the genuine ones that he says, be careful how you hear. It's obviously the genuine ones because the false ones can't hear at all. They will not understand. He's only just said that. So seeing they will not see hearing they will not understand. So he's obviously speaking here to people who are genuine. He's saying, you be careful how you hear, how you understand. You want to know the truth? Good. But you need to seek understanding of it. It's critical to discern your spiritual condition. We know from John 6 that there were many disciples who were following him, but just decided not to, for whatever reason. So Jesus is saying, how do you listen? And from this passage, there are four ways that we listen, or we should listen. We should listen evangelistically. We should listen authentically. We should listen fruitfully. And we should listen obediently. So these are the things I want to look at this morning. Evangelistically, authentically, fruitfully, obediently. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at the first one. Genuine Christians hear evangelistically. Jesus gives this parable. No one, he says, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed. But he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. That's really an absurdity. He's saying something that's blindingly obvious. It would be ridiculous to light a lamp and then cover it over. Very simple. Very straightforward. No one lights a lamp and then puts it out. I mean, you don't today walk into a dark room, turn the light on, and then turn it straight off again and stumble about in the darkness. Of course, in Jesus' day, they didn't have electric lights. They had basically fire to produce light. What they would have is some sort of terracotta container, flat usually, covered over a bit at the top with a wick floating in, inserted through a hole, and they would have oil in there, and the oil would be fed through the wick, and the wick would light, and it would be a light of sorts. Not as clear as what we have here this morning, but light of some description. So when you light that light, you put it up high, because it's not a brilliant light. It's got to be high. Absolutely obvious. You would not then put a cover over it. Because if you put a cover over that, it extinguishes it. That would be basically what would happen in Jesus' day. It wouldn't just make the light a bit dimmer. It's a flame. It would put it out. It would be gone. It'd be like today, turning a light on and then immediately turning off again. So it's a simple story. Everyone understands. But the question is, okay, we know that. You don't light a lamp and then cover it over because it would extinguish it. Blindingly obvious. But what is the application of that? What does Jesus mean by that? Why is he saying this? What's the spiritual application? And the spiritual application is hiding the light of God from those around you. So you if you're a Christian, you are enlightened. You have the light. You do not hide that from other people. That would be absurd, as ridiculous as having a light and then covering it over so it's extinguished. So a true Christian listens evangelistically with a view to showing others that they are a Christian. They would attend a church. They would live differently. They would act differently. They would speak differently. It's all a witness. A witness isn't just what you say. Most of your witness is the way that you live. So when you become a Christian, you don't hide that. You proclaim it. You live the life. You do what God says. You live according to how God tells you. And people will see that, and that's a light. You don't cover it over. That's obvious. You're going to let everyone see it. It's a light that's been lit. Now, why does Jesus say this? Because that's pretty obvious too. Well, something's going on here that you need to understand, actually. There's something in Jesus' mind that makes him say this, particularly to the 12. He's just said, to you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it's in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. So he's just said to them, I'm speaking in parables and people are not going to get it. I'm hiding it from them. He's making a judgment. He's rendering a verdict. These people are fixed in their unbelief. They didn't listen. They wouldn't listen. Now they can't listen because Jesus is not going to tell them because they won't accept it. So as I say, it's a judicial act on the part of the Son of God to render a judgment on the obstinate, unbelieving people. So the disciples might think, oh, well, we should do that as well. I mean, that's what Jesus does. We'll do it too. Remember, James and John and once said, oh, should we call down fire from heaven and destroy them all? Let's burn them all up. You know, should we do that? Should we also hide the truth? Should we make that kind of judgment? Maybe we should be like Jesus. I mean, he does it. Should we do the same? So Jesus says, no, the light has been lit in you. You keep it burning. You live a life that shows you're a Christian. You don't hide it. You're not in a position of judging anyone. You're not in a position of deciding who will and who won't listen. Only God can do that. He says in Matthew 7, judge not lest you be judged. He says you'll know them by their fruits, but you don't render a verdict on them. You don't decide whether their permanent condition is going to continue. Only Jesus can do that. So Jesus is basically saying to the disciples and us, it's not for you to put the light out. Only I can make that determination. You tell everyone. You don't know who's going to be genuine. You don't know who's going to be a Christian. It's a bit like somebody once said to Spurgeon, because Spurgeon was talking about predestination. And they said, well, you know, how can you then bother witnessing? Well, what's the point? And you know, if somebody's called and somebody isn't called, that's up to God. Why do you bother telling anyone the good news? And Spurgeon said, well, if I could pull up their shirt tails and see on the back a big E for elect, until that time, I'll just witness to everyone. And that's the point. You just tell everyone. You don't know who God's called. You don't know who's going to come. It's not for you to make that decision. It's not for you to judge people. Only Jesus could do that. So whilst Jesus can say, right, I'm going to speak in parables to these people, you just tell everyone. That's why he's saying that. You live the life. You speak the life. You act the life. You are the light. You let your light shine. That's what he's saying here. So Jesus is saying, I might be telling you in secret, but you tell everyone. You proclaim the house from the housetops. You can't make the judgment. That's for me to do. So that's a principle here. True hearers hear evangelistically. In other words, they're sure that they are a Christian. They proclaim that they are a Christian. They live according to what God says in his word. They let people see that. They don't conceal it. They don't hide it away. They put it on display, even though that can be difficult sometimes. You are people for the purpose of proclaiming the excellencies of God. It says in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you proclaim the truth. You live it all the way through. That's what Jesus is saying here. What you saw, what you heard in me, show it. Live the life. That's the mark of a genuine Christian. They're here evangelistically. They live according to the Bible, to what God says, thereby showing that they are a genuine Christian. That's a first point of listening. So the Bible is not just there for you to learn something. It's not just there for you to benefit personally, that you can then grow and mature. It's there for you to live so that you can be a witness. The second point is that we hear authentically. And this brings us down to the individual. He says, now while we're talking about lamps, basically, let me say this. Nothing is hidden, shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known, and come to the light. What's Jesus talking about now? Well, he's talking about the inside. He's talking about authenticity. Nothing is hidden that shall not become evident. It's the assumption you're hiding something. You can't hide it. It will become evident. It will come out. It says in Matthew 10, verse 26, therefore do not fear them, that's your enemies, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be made known. The whole idea then is there is a difference between the way that people conduct themselves on the outside and what's going on in the heart. But in the end, you can't hide it really. Jesus is saying, look, while I'm talking about light, let me remind you that not only are you to be marked as one who lets the light shine, but know this, your heart will also reveal your true condition. In other words, don't be a hypocrite. When you're witnessing, when you're living the life, don't be hypocritical about it because people will see through that. You'll eventually be found out. It says in Ecclesiastes, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. He's talking about then hypocrisy. We know that because in Luke chapter 12, he uses the same statement. He says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. He's repeatedly warning his genuine disciples, don't be hypocrites. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like that. Don't be like people who follow for a while and then fall away and say, "Lord, Lord," but they don't mean it. And don't be like those who build their houses on sand. Don't be a phony. Be genuine. And this ties in with the first point. Don't be a hypocrite because you want to be a good witness. Truth is, really, it'll become clear in the end. That's true of people who aren't genuine because eventually you do see them for what they really are. You can't hide it. So Jesus said, look at yourself. Examine yourself. Are you hearing evangelistically? Do you want to proclaim? Do you want people to know that you're a Christian? Or are you trying to cover things up? Are you the real thing? Then he's really saying the third thing here. Also listen here fruitfully. Take care how you listen, for he says, to him whoever has more shall be given. Whoever does not have even what he thinks he has, it will be taken away, verse 18. So who's he talking about there? Who's the one who have there are the genuine ones? They have eternal life. They have salvation. They have all the kingdom. Whoever has more shall be given. John says in John 1 verse 16, we have received grace upon grace. So when you become a Christian, you don't just get salvation. You get a relationship with God. You can fulfill a reason for your existence, which is to worship God. And then you get grace upon grace. You get to go to heaven. You get perfection. You get blessing. You get so much more than just the fact that you are a Christian. You get more and more and more. You get the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable about talents. He says in verse 14, there's a certain man who has five and then another one who has two. And then he says, verse 29, and he gives the principle, because everyone who has more shall be given. He shall have an abundance, but the one who doesn't have, even what he does have, will be taken away. He says exactly the same thing there that he says here in Luke. And then he says, cast out the worthless slave in the outer darkness and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, that's the person who isn't saved. And the little they have, even that they'll lose. So if you're a Christian, you get more, you get grace upon grace upon grace, the bit you have, even more. But for the non-Christian, even the bit you do have in this life, you'll even lose that. The false disciple, the unsaved person, loses everything. The genuine Christian gains everything. Everything. And what happens to the person who doesn't have the little that they have, they lose, and they face the judgment. Finally then, true hearers hear obediently. You see this in this incident. You wonder, why do we get this incident here in verse 19 and 20? Suddenly he's talking about hearing, then suddenly we have this incident. His mother, that's Mary, and brothers came to him and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And they were reported to him, your mother, your brother are standing outside wishing to see you. Now it's interesting, why are they there? There's Jesus, he's in the house, it's very crowded, and they're outside and they're saying, we want to see him. I mean, they probably saw him that morning at breakfast. Why do they suddenly want to see him now? He's an adult, he goes where he wants, he does what he wants to do. Why? Well, we see in Mark chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, we get an understanding. It says, the multitude gathered again to such an extent that they couldn't even eat a meal. So the crowds are getting massive. And his own people and family, when they heard of this, they went out to take custody of him, for they were saying, he's lost his mind. The family was saying, Jesus, look, this is getting a bit out of hand. You know, you're getting carried away. There's a massive crowd following you. You've got religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They hate you. They're trying to kill you. You're putting yourself in a terrible position. You could lose your life. You're losing it. You're not making the right decisions. You're not capable of making good decisions. They think he's going mad. They want to help him because he's their son. He's their brother. They're all there. They're saying, let's rescue him. Jesus' response looks like indifference, but it's not, because he does love them. He says in verse 21, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now he's saying exactly the same thing that he's just said about hearing the word. Now he's saying, yes, this is my mother, Mary, and these are actually my brothers, which just proves that Mary did have other children. Yes, that's true physically, but if you really want to be in my family, you do what the Bible says. You do what God says. That's the indication of my real mother and brothers and sisters and family, those who hear the word of God and do it. In other words, relationships to me, because I'm God, aren't defined in human terms. They're not defined in family terms or physical terms. They're defined as somebody who hears the word of God and accepts and does it. So he's saying that exactly the same thing again. The true Christian accepts and obeys all that God says in his word. Same principle again as the hearing. Is that how you hear? That's what he's saying. Do you hear the word of God, and do you have a desire and a longing to do it, to accept it, to obey it? That's what it means to be a genuine Christian. He says this again and again and again. It's so repetitive, but obviously we need to hear it because it's so important. Is that your attitude? Do you want to accept God's word? Or do you have that attitude? Well, you know, I don't know how to keep this up. You know, this is, you know, I don't like that particular bit. And, you know, it doesn't really fit with modern society, does it? It doesn't fit with what the world is saying to me. It doesn't fit with what the people outside the church are saying. Or do you have the attitude, no, this is what God says. I'm glad to hear anything that God says. If God says it, that's it. I follow what God says, not what the world says. That's what Jesus is saying here. He wasn't indifferent to his mother or brothers. Time would show that. I mean, even at the cross, he says to John, you know, take care of Mary. He loved Mary. He wasn't being horrible. He was just making a point because the spiritual point was clear. He wasn't subject to his mother. She's a human. He's God. She was subject to him. From the age of 12, he said, I had to be about my father's business. His human family had no right to tell him what to do. He's God. And Jesus wanted everyone to know that. See another example in Luke 27, verse 11. Somebody's yelling at the top of their voice in the crowd as Jesus walks by. It's a woman. She's very happy with Jesus. She loves Jesus, obviously. She's enamored with Jesus. So she raises her voice and she says, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. I mean, it's a compliment. And you would have thought, well, Jesus is a really nice man. He's going to say, oh, thank you very much. That's really nice of you. But he doesn't. He says, on the contrary. He contradicts her. He says, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it. He's saying the same thing again. So this woman giving a compliment, saying, you know, blessed is the woman who bore you, the woman whose breast you nursed. Lovely compliment. No, no, Jesus says, blessed are the ones who hear the word of God and do it. He's saying the same, exactly, continuing on. All the way through his ministry, he says the same thing. It's all about accepting and obeying his word. Even when somebody pays him a compliment, he says, no, hang on, no, it's all about listening to and obeying his word. Be hearers, James says, but also be doers. Don't just be hearers without the doers. You have to have the two together. If you are a hearer only, which means there can be people who do hear, but that's it, you're self-deceived. In Matthew 7, he says, the one who hears my word is like the man who builds a house upon a rock. The one who doesn't is born who builds on sand, because they don't hear his word and do it. In John 8, he says, if you continue in my word, you are my real disciples. John 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 1 John 2, verse 4, the one who says, I've come to him and know him, but doesn't keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. It's all the way through. It's not just Jesus. It's the entire New Testament. It keeps saying again and again and again, repeating the same message. It's all about God says something, you accept whatever it is he says, and you do it. That's what it means to hear carefully. Be careful how you hear. That's what Jesus means. When he says be careful how you hear, he means accept what God says and do it. The people who have a genuine relationship to him are the ones who do that, who hear properly. evangelistically, authentically, fruitfully, obediently. So we really do need to ask the question, what kind of hearer am I? And remember those words of Jesus, be careful how you listen. Let's come to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this message again from Jesus, a message that's repeated throughout the New Testament, and a message that we also see in the Old Testament, all the way through the Bible. Be careful how you hear. Accept what God says. Listen to what God says. This is my son. Listen to him. Help us to listen. Help us to be careful how we hear. Help us to then not just hear, but also do. To accept and obey your word and live according to your word. We thank you, Father. Amen.